our spiritual masters have talked about.
He wrote in his most famous work, I think, you were showing him Bhagavad Gita, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in Bhagavad Gita, in one commentary, in the second chapter, he says that in modern universities and schools and educational institutions, that they teach everything except for the most important thing. Otherwise, they teach about all kinds of different divisions and aspects of science. Anyone put the fan on it, so.
It's a little noisy.
Okay. I don't know if it's everybody. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, when it gets this hot, so you need the fan. Fan needs. And, you know, any kind of science, all kinds of philosophy is very interesting. Every philosophy course I've ever seen, it always begins with the Greeks. No. They may mention a little something about India and, you know, Indian mythology or something. But basically that's all it is. No, there's no mention, no in-depth study, unless you take Indology or Sanskrit. Unless there's no, and even then, generally speaking, in any two different courses you'll have a whole different concept of what God is, what spirituality is. Because the original books of India, which are called the Vedas, actually Veda means knowledge. And it doesn't only mean spiritual knowledge, it means all knowledge. So, because if one considers that there is a God, and God creates everything, then it must have a purpose, and it must have, there must be a logical and scientific way that it's designed. Just like we design anything. We design a house, you know, you have to take into consideration architectural structure, the strength of the columns and the beams and everything. Otherwise it will fall in. So if you're structuring a universe, or unlimited universes, then there must be a system and there must be a purpose. So that's also another aspect of self-realization. Once we understand that the soul is spirit, and I'm that soul, what is its purpose? Why are we here? Why are we suffering? Why are we, you know, why do we want to be happy, but happiness seems to be short-lived and sporadic, you know, and interspersed with different kinds of situations. Sometimes pleasurable, sometimes unpleasurable. Actually, there's one very famous saint in our tradition called Prahlad Maharaj. And he said that it's very curious, this world, because everything I like, it seems to be taken away from me. And everything I don't particularly like, it's always, I'm always joined together with it. And so he said, therefore, he's praying that it's a prayer, and he says, therefore, my dear Lord, I think the best thing to do is just become your servant. Then I'll know what to do. And then everything will be auspicious, because if we do something, if we're spirit, and we relate to the Supreme Spirit, then we'll get the right information on what to do, how to live our lives. Of course, a lot of people say, don't tell me how to live my life. And Krishna's also, he's not imposing himself. He simply says in Bhagavad Gita, this is my opinion. But of course, he also tells Arjuna that my opinion just happens to be supreme. So if you don't accept it directly, you'll have to accept it indirectly. Just like the government, or in any government, you have civil and criminal law. So if we voluntarily subject ourselves to civil law, then we don't have to worry about criminal law. But if you reject civil law, then you automatically fall under the jurisdiction of criminal law. They may or not catch you in our government, but in the supreme government, you can't get away. You can only try to get away. So spirituality is, although it has many variegated forms of manifestation. To reach the highest level of spiritual understanding, we teach the process of bhakti yoga, which means yoga devotion. And why devotion? Why not? Because there's other ones. There's Raja Yoga, you know, the yoga of activity, and there's Jnana Yoga, the yoga of knowledge. So why do we particularly recommend bhakti? Because ultimately ourselves, infinitesimal living spiritual beings, are subordinate to the supreme spiritual being. So whenever there's a subordinate relationship, there's either protection or there's dominion. And dominion, of course, can be protective or can be exploitative. So generally speaking, in this world, when we have dominion, we're exploitative. Even though we try to be exploitative in a nice way. Exploit people in a nice way. Or exploit others in a nice way. We don't mean to exploit, but Jesus Christ explained that as better to give than receive. If you give, that's service. If you receive, that's exploitation. Trying to get something out of someone else. So you may not, you may not be, ill-motivated. You just, our tendency is to take. Because until we have spiritual fulfillment, then we always feel like I'm lacking something. Because the whole consumer society is based on that mentality. That you're always thinking, I've got to get another one, I've got to get a new one, I've got to get this one's got another button, this one's got more gigabytes, this one's got two more terabytes, this one's got more, bigger, louder, clearer, better picture, 3D, what next will be holographic, get in the movie and be interactive. Who knows what they'll come out with next, but they probably already came out with it, they just release it, and, one button at a time, so you can only buy a model every year. But anyway, the point is that, so Vedas means that knowledge by which we can most successfully navigate this world. We can most successfully live our lives to the highest fulfillment. And that's Bhakti Yoga, provides that opportunity. In Bhakti Yoga, although certainly we also use Hatha Yoga to balance the body and the mind. Not everybody does, and we don't require it, but certainly it's very, very good for health and very good for mental stability. But Hatha Yoga is one step of the yoga that most people know of, sitting in a position. It's actually one step in the chain, an eight-step yoga system. And that eight-step yoga system, in Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter, Arjuna, who is Krishna's devotee, very dedicated devotee of Krishna, he says that he hears about it, listens to the whole process, and he says, my dear Krishna, this appears to be more difficult than controlling the mind by this process seems to be more difficult than controlling the wind. It's like right now in New Orleans, got a lot of wind, or speak of Irene and Katia coming around the corner. So nobody can control that wind. Actually, I saw an article about 5 months ago and it said, not even 5 years ago, it said that now we think we have an experimental means through sound of moving a hurricane. But then the problem is, where do you move it? Move it this over here, then they try to move it back. So, controlling the wind is a very difficult thing. I mean, no one's been so successful up to now. And so Krishna, otherwise Arjuna, he's a king. Now, Krishna spoke this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita on a battlefield, which is not the usual place where you hear, you know, spiritual knowledge. But the reasoning for that was he picked the most difficult circumstance that one could possibly be in, and he picked the most unlikely person to be a yogi, which is a king. Of course, Arjuna was a yogi because he was a great devotee of Krishna. But in the dialogue with the Bhagavad Gita, he's actually, he's acting as a normal king who doesn't know he's attached to his family, attached to his friends, attached to his kingdom, his power. And so his decision is, I'm just going to give all this up. Sometimes we do that also. If something's too difficult, just think, oh, forget about it. Or if something is uncomfortable for us, we say, forget about it. So, but the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to help us to understand not to do that. Not to try to enjoy something, and when it's no longer enjoyable, we give it up. No. And try to find something else, which turns out to be the same thing. But Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this body, you will definitely have to give up. Just like we have a shirt or a pair of pants, dress or whatever. When it gets old and tattered, we throw it away and we get a new one. So Krishna says that this is what the living entity is doing. But this is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to change bodies. The purpose of life attain our real spiritual identity, which is a spiritual life, which is eternal, and not to repeat this birth and death, which we're subjected to in this world. And why are we subjected to it? Because we desire. We desire matter. We want to either subtly or grossly control and enjoy matter. And so to do that, you have to have a material body. But once we give up that desire to enjoy matter, then we can stop the cycle of birth and death. But that's not sufficient to be guaranteed that we never have to come back to this world of difficulty. That way, we connect ourselves with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in loving devotion. Loving relationship. That loving relationship means it's reciprocal. It means that God comes down, so to speak, comes down to our level, and at the same, He brings up us up to His spiritual level, and He comes down to the point where we can relate to Him as a friend. We can relate to Him in a parental, in a friendship, in a service attitude, whatever is most comfortable for us. We can relate to God in that way. He brings us up beyond matter, and He comes to an accommodating relationship with us. Because that's what He wants to do. But one thing our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada said, in this age, the tendency is to see the mundane as divine and see the divine as mundane. Otherwise, we see whatever I like to do most, I make that, so to speak, a religion out of that. And real spirituality, we just see it as something, some tradition coming from some bygone era, has no meaning, has no reality to me in this day and age. So that's just giving you kind of a overview of what self-realization is. So what do you think?
I think that a lot of what you're saying, I feel like relates to things that I think about materially. It doesn't matter so much. I mean, I just moved back to my parents and trying to get rid of a lot of things.
Good. Actually, I just came from Monterrey, Mexico, which has been, you know, a lot of violence there. But actually, it's very interesting that all the violence has been in either discotheques, nightclubs, or casinos. So You know, that, so I've actually, you know, people are saying this is so bad, but actually I said it's not so bad because people are learning that these are not the places to go to. So sometimes things happen in our environment or in our lives that may seem to be disturbing, difficult, suffering. But if we actually understand one name of God is Krishna, He has unlimited names. So Krishna means the most attractive person. But another name of God is Achyuta, which means in the infallible. So if we actually believe that God is infallible, we should be able to come to the conclusion that if I am relating to God as something that I identify as negative, suffering, etc., it's actually, you know, like anything in a learning process, you'll find that the initial part of that learning process is not so pleasant, you know, in many cases. Like if I'm becoming an athlete, then to get to the point where every day where I can run 10 miles, you know, without stopping, then, you know, until I can get to that point, it's all going to be a little uncomfortable. So I can train. Once I get to that point, or playing the piano, when you start out, you have a little, timer. But once you come to the point where you learn, then it's like, it just flows. So, also yoga can be like that a little bit. In the learning phase, like anything, school, say people go to school, especially if you're going to be a doctor or something like that. You end up going to school for like 25 years, and all that time, then you finally become someone who can help others. Of course, nowadays, modern medicine sometimes become more of a business than a social service. Anyway, just some examples. So, like you said, you know, just spirituality. Something that generally people embark upon when their lives indicate that I want to change something in my life. Up to that point, usually the deepest degree of spirituality is, there are some exceptions, but generally it's just like, thank you God for everything I have and make sure that I have this much or more in the future. And that's my relationship with you, and I want to keep it that way. This to get to the point where it causes me some discomfort. So, Srila Prabhupada used to say that this means making God the servant. Otherwise, you go through the motions to get what I want. Right? We're not even thinking about, is this an imposition on God, or is it, you know, this what He really wants to do? Like figure out how I can pay my debts, or, you know, bring my girlfriend or boyfriend back, or is this how, you know, if I were designing a profile of what God should do, you know, then is this what I would say, you know, do all these things? Or does it mean to be the supreme enjoyer and supreme controller? And actually, Krishna doesn't even like to control, but he likes to enjoy with his devotees. So this is what Bhakti Yoga offers, to come into this personal understanding of God and develop a personal relationship which is based on the real needs of the soul and the real desires of the Supreme.
Minutes about anything you would like to know more about our future. characteristic of our philosophy is that when it comes to the point of asking questions, one should not think, well, I should ask something I don't know. And it's not really correct, because the absolute truth, although the word absolute may seem to indicate one, is not exactly one. But it is infinite at the same time. It's one and infinite at the same time. So if you put the same question to different devotees, you will receive different answers. Because although what we call tattva, that basically means the philosophical meaning or the philosophical principle is always the same at the base, still the spiritual world, since it's very personal and very variegated, the same truth is like bedecked, is that correct? Bedecked with many jewels. With many different jewels. Is that correct? The word? Bedecked.
Bedecked.
Enriched.
Bedecked.
Bedecked with many jewels. And these jewels are the personal feeling, the personal realization, the personal understanding, the personal perspectives that are, since they are personal, each of them are unique. So you get different answers. The base are the same, but you get so many only apparently secondary concepts that enrich the same philosophical concept. And you say, well, this devotee explained the same thing in a different way. So actually, when you know the answer, that is the moment to put the question again, because you should be curious to know what the other devotee will say about that. But of course, you are first time, or unless you come here, and it's, we appreciate so much your presence. So, spiritual life is actually, say spiritual life is redundancy, because life can only be spiritual. So spiritual is something like a redundant adjective to life, which is the subject. Life can never be anything different from spiritual, because matter, as Maharaj was explaining very nicely before, life can only be spiritual. Matter means object, inert. Life means movement, means something that moves. So if I say, okay, now I move this shawl, this cloth, what do you think? Anyone will say that the shawl moves? Who says that? Who can say that? You don't see the hand, you see the shawl move. But you don't say the shawl is moving, because you know the shawl cannot move. Even if you don't see the hand inside, you know that there's something inside must be moving it. Because it is simply impossible. Because life is not part, a natural part, of this object. So what is the difference between this shawl and our body? There's no difference. So if you see the hand moving, you cannot say the hand is moving. As much as when you see the car moving, you cannot say the car is moving. The car is not moving. That is a mechanical movement. We have another type of movement. The car cannot decide if to go right or left. Cannot decide. Because it's mechanical. It doesn't have desire. It doesn't care if going right or wrong. It has no life, it has no personality, it has no taste, it has no love, it has no hate, it has no nothing. It's just an object. So when you see the body moving, then you have to conclude that there is something that is moving the body. You have to say that. Because the body is nothing different from any clothes, from any cars. So now, why we push so much about this point? We push because this is the base of our philosophy, this is the base of human life. Because if you conclude that life is material, then you want the whole of your life trying to enjoy, to perfect your life in a material sense. So try to get money, try to get a nice house, a nice family, nice social position, like this. But during the time, you must realize gradually that something is wrong. Something is wrong because the more you have, the less happy you are. Why is that? Because why the rich people are more miserable than poor people? Because the poor people, at least they have the illusion that if they get the money, they will be happy. So they are happy in a sense, because they have a goal, they have something to obtain. Rich people, you know, they already have got everything, and they understood that it's totally miserable, their life is totally miserable. They have nothing to achieve, they already achieved everything. So this realization of a life which is beyond matter is a conclusion for an intelligent person. Intelligent person must try to understand that the real life is spiritual. And if we want to be happy, we must understand, we should understand, that we have to learn what spiritual life means, what is. So our movement, which is called ISKCON, small but nice, you know, not always big things are beautiful. Sometimes small is beautiful. So this movement that here is small, it's a big movement all over the world. We have gigantic, huge temple all over the world. And what is our movement? It is basically a school that teaches the value, the theory of these spiritual values, and also how to realize them. The first is called Jnana, and the second is called Vijnana. Jnana means you understand. The second is when this understanding puts roots inside your being, that is not yourself and the knowledge and the theory. They become one, so that you behave naturally according to the understanding, because it's become yours. When you conclude that spiritual life is a better life, is the only life actually, then you come to ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to learn. We have books, we have maps, we have teachers, we have students, we have everything you need to learn the theory and the practice of spiritual life, and it's free for everybody, you learn to be anything. So the door is always open, you enter. Our movement is a public place where everybody is always welcome to come and go as much as they want. So this is a great treasure. It's a great, very precious. So utilize presence of this movement in your city to learn what spiritual life is. So if there is any question, we are here. Otherwise, we have prepared a nice lunch for you. Sorry, my English is not perfect. There's no mother tongue. You know, and I try.
Very well.
It's very well. Very thank you. Sometimes I just sweat while I speak because I know what I'm saying. So it's because I've been speaking for many years other languages. It's not such a long time that I start to lecture with you.
Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Italy.
And how many languages do you speak? What's the other one?
That's Spanish. Yo hablo español, yo parlo italiano, I speak English. So I think in a few minutes we are going to serve these dishes.
Manonat.
Manonat. Yes.
What does that mean?
Manas is the mind. many meanings actually. The mana is like the mind, and the mind is very important to control it, because it's a mechanism. It's like a car, just like to keep using the same analogy before, when you use the car. If when you drive, it's better you can control your car. You don't let it go, whatever, you know. The energies of nature impels the car to go, whether you control it. So the mind is one of the mechanisms of our external personality. So, and it's very trickery. Because when somebody identifies with the material body, which the mind is part of the material body, although a subtle energy, not a gross energy. So the mind goes on acting or forcing people to act according to the informations that he received during his life. You see? So it goes on by itself, and sometimes it makes you do things that actually you should not want to do. You feel attracted to things that are not good, because it's like a mechanism, automatic. You cannot control it. So yoga, if you study the Yoga Sutra, the first two sutras of the Yoga Sutra, the most important. The first one is. Yata Yoga Anushasana, and the second, my memory is really betraying me. Tomorrow I will tell you. So the first say first of all, Yata Yoga Anushasana means that it's very urgent that you learn the science of yoga. You know, and Anu Ashasanam, Shasanam is like the scriptures and the spiritual masters. You have to learn the science of yoga not by yourself, because it's impossible. In theory you can, but in practice you can't. You need to learn it from some authorities. And Anu means to follow, and Shasan means the authorities, the bona fide authorities, not just any authority. And the second verse is very important because it defines the whole science of yoga. That means that yoga is the science of stopping the transformation or the modification of the mind. So it's 196 sutras. It's quite, although not many sutras, but you know, it takes a long time if you want to study word by word. And this science teaches you how to control the mind. So important is, if you control the mind, you have made a big step ahead in the spiritual life. And mana, in Sanskrit there is such a thing called sandhi rules. Sandhi are the rules to link different words. So mana, since as a final age, and then there is a soft consonant, which is the N. Then the H, it elides, gets cancelled. And the A becomes O. So mano, nat, means the mind, the lord of the controller of the mind. So I'm not manat, I'm manat das. Manat is Krishna. He is in charge of the mind. So he can control the mind, he can help us to become controller of the mind. So manat means there is a name of Krishna, which means the one who knows how to control his mind. If you think, oh my God, okay. Anyway, I am preparing a study course on the Yoga Sutra. It will be ready in 1 or 2 months. If you want to become one of the students, you're welcome. It's going to be extremely interesting, not because I'm giving it, of course, but because the subject matter is extremely interesting. It's just another Bhagavad Gita. You know, Bhagavad Gita is our main philosophical book. It's just like the fundament. It's like the Bible of India. Okay, so Yoga Sutra is like a Bhagavad Gita seen from another perspective. It's called from a darshanic perspective. So there are many in India, darshans, so philosophies, will see is different, but actually they aim at the same goal, but they see it from different perspectives. So perspectives are interesting because it enriches our intellect, our heart, its taste, its life. Because if you only know one philosophy, always the same after that, after some time you may get bored. But if you see, but if you learn different philosophy from the innumerable perspective, that's life becomes a lot of fun. You can enjoy life, especially from intellectual type of persons.
Quality.
it becomes always more spiritual, because you are practicing, knowledge, analysis, the right perspective in your life, and you become always more spiritual and always less materialistic person. And then the consciousness, which is a spiritual quality originally, that comes out filtered into something material, and then it gets cleaned. And then the consciousness, slowly but slowly, goes back in being spiritual. And that is called liberation, moksha, or mukti. few very nice speakers, you can hear about Radharani and about different people.
Anyway,
you can follow the internet, all the lectures. which will be recorded by us, so you can listen everything, every minute. And also, if you want to connect to our website, I will let you, I will give you my business card. I'm professional.
Is that enough rice? Would you
like to... No, it's okay.
So,